26th of August 2012. I'm your host, Zulu Fight Runner. My team for the day, Kitch, say hello.
Hey guys.
Mortimer, say hello.
Hi everyone.
And our very special guest, Atheist Experience host, Russell Glasser.
I feel very special.
That's what Martin said as well. He feels special as well. No, he said he's only occasionally special, so... thank you everyone for turning up. You see, we're on every 2 weeks, well, like I say, all the guests and that, so we'll just take it away, Russell. So, how are things?
Things are great, thanks.
All right, so I suppose we'll get started with the... How did you get started with the Atheist Experience show?
Sorry. I accidentally turned on the stream, and so I'm doing the same stupid thing that our callers always do.
There's always one.
I was hearing you guys in
there. Always one.
How did I get started with the atheist movement? Well, no. My family has been atheist for several generations already, so I had always been sort of casually atheist, and kind of argued with it, but never really been involved with a group until I left college and realized, hey, out there in the real world, there aren't any, like, pre-made social groups for people to hang out in that are just all over the place all the time. So after I left college and moved to Austin, I looked for atheist groups in the area and just happened to find one of the best ones in the United States. Or maybe it became one of the best ones in the United States because I was there.
Modesty.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Only Christians think modesty is a sin.
Exactly. Jeff D was hosting the show when I got there, and I started asking if I could be a guest, and I have a few old videos of my first couple of times there, and I'm horrible. But I also went on to, I became pretty active in the group. For a while I was producing the TV show. Along with Martin, I started doing a lot of blogging. And now I'm the host 1 week out of every four when Matt's not available. And also, since he's been traveling the country a lot, giving speeches, I get to be the host more than usual in the last few months. And that's the Atheist Experience, which you can find at atheist-experience.com.
And I suspect that all our viewers know that already.
I don't know how much overlap there is. You guys should tell me a little about your show, since I haven't been a regular viewer and probably should be.
Okay. Kitch, you can give the history of our show then.
Okay, well, Trolling with Logic actually started 2 years ago, am I right?
2009 it started.
2009. It's just a YouTube kind of thing where there'd be myself, Zulu, Martimer, and a couple of other YouTubers who have since left. Yeah. And we just do group collab projects on Debunking the Role and other stuff like that, other Christian websites. And this time, got it to be Christmas now, 2 years ago, this coming Christmas, 2 years ago, me and Zulu had a Christmas show, and we wanted to keep that going, especially after one of my live debates against...
that infamous night.
That infamous night. And we wanted to keep that going, so we kept on going with the live.
Who was it?
It was a YouTuber called Eye2Eye.
Oh, okay.
Do you know him?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, basically, Kitch was debating him, and this guy thought phylogenetic trees were actual plants.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
And believe it or not, that's not the dumbest thing this guy's ever said.
No.
But yeah, that...
The Bronze Age was a rock layer of bronze.
Yeah, that's another...
And the guy... we suspect the guy is actually a troll. Just... That he's not for real, but,
you know,
but every now
time,
and then, you know...
Every time we talk to really, like, dumb theists, which, I mean, you know, I don't want to... That is certainly not all the time. We get some intelligent conversations going on the Atheist Experience. But we get, like, a steady stream of emails saying, come on, admit it. You guys, like, either have people impersonating theists all the time to make them look bad, or your call screeners screen out all the smart-sounding ones so that you can just have dumb-sounding Christians. And, you know, we always answer the same thing, which is, you know, if you're so much better, call.
Yeah, it's kind of what Matt said, but there was one thing. Who's got to be your most memorable caller?
Well, I've checked the YouTube clips that people put up, and there's two of them which seem to be like universal favorites. They keep getting reposted on Reddit from time to time. The first, and I have to say, they are very dumb calls. and they're both with me and Matt together. The first one is like, this guy calls in and he wants to know if there's no God, then how do we, you know, what gives us the power to move around? And so we're like energy from the sun.
JR.
And he says, well, yes, JR. So why don't you die when the sun goes down? And then we're like, no, it doesn't work like that. Your body stores up power like a rechargeable battery. And he says, oh, so it's like electricity. Then why don't you get electrocuted in the shower?
Yeah, I watch that clip on YouTube every now and then, and I always laugh.
Yeah. Oh, catch.
Yeah,
usually
if I'm surfing Reddit and I see somebody else post a clip of the Atheist Experience, I'll watch it just to refresh my memory, because a lot of those are years old. And the other one is, like, the guy who Matt called the best caller ever.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Where somebody just asked, why don't you believe in God? And he was like, well, why don't you believe in other gods? And she said, because there's no evidence for it. And Matt said, you're the best caller ever. And there was, like, one other exchange just like that where the person answered their own question.
Yeah, because the one I always remember from you, well, it's I got it on Joe's channel, is Creationist Steve. That's one of your very first ones, yeah.
That's been a long time.
Yes. And, well, the other one was Charles the Solipsist. Or was he infuriating rather than...
That one, yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, I could see you were gritting your teeth with him a few times.
Right. Well, you know, Creationist Steve was, like, kind of a motivator for me to actually go out and learn a lot and read a lot more about evolution. Because on the one hand, we don't want to present ourselves as science experts because we're not. Mm-hmm. We're just a couple of lay people talking about what we know. But on the other hand, it's kind of inconvenient to have people call in and be able to stump us on things, even if they're about very complex specialized knowledge. So what I found was that every time somebody would ask me an evolution question that I didn't know the answer to, later I would look it up so that I would be prepared for the next time. Hmm. And I really think, you know, that's how everybody should go about arguing, is go ahead and admit you don't know the things you don't know, but also go and look up the things so that you'll know it for the next time.
Okay, we're getting some questions in the chat room. CG Phantom asks, have you ever gotten a question on the show that's caught you completely off guard, that you just couldn't answer at the time?
You guys may remember Matt Slick calling in.
Ooh,
and
yes.
A lot of people have seen the show where Matt Dillahunty talked to him, but may not remember that he actually called into a show with me and Don first.
Yep, I remember.
And I wouldn't say that that call went super badly, but I had never actually heard the transcendental argument before. So I wasn't... And, you know, the thing about the transcendental argument is that it's mainly about throwing in so much pseudo-philosophical, convincing-sounding bullshit that it's very difficult to describe in a sensible way in the first place, let alone respond to. And the fact that I hadn't heard it before, I wound up kind of frustrated with that call, and Matt and I actually had, we got together and we knew this guy was going to call back, so had some long conversations in a small group of people and broke down exactly what he was saying on his website so that we could sort of deconstruct it and figure out that it's basically the first cause argument, only instead of saying something had to create the world, it's something had to create the laws of logic. And once you get through that, it's basically almost the same thing. And there's another one that kind of still bothers me, which is if you're an atheist, there can't be any objective morality. In some sense, there's not objective morality, although there is morality that, I know some people actually disagree with me on this, but my point of view is there is morality that objectively makes sense given the goal of maximizing human happiness. But a lot of people are never going to be comfortable with that answer, and so it's still kind of a hard sell.
Okay. There was a question, but I think what's the worst argument for God you've ever heard?
Pascal's wager?
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
From trees.
Yeah, I was going to say, that one's so common that we've coined it as the argumentum ad arboretum.
And Ruben as well, he's got to be in there as well for his arguments.
Remind me who Ruben is.
He's the 5 billion species guy that calls once a year, it seems.
I can't remember. Is he, I'm thinking of a guy who's a very slow talker?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
he's the one who says the... How many species are there, and out of those, how many have TV shows and whatever, blah, 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 before God exists or something?
I don't remember that specific line, but...
Well, I was thinking that maybe the worst argument for God might tie into something I've been following on your blog, because you've been arguing with a presuppositionalist, haven't you?
Yes. Well, this guy asked me to have a conversation with... Wait, shit. I was trying to turn the chat back on, but I can't figure out how to do it without having the stream on. This guy asked me to have a conversation with his creationist teacher. And so I'm basically doing it for somebody, and we've been through 3.5 rounds now of presuppositional apologetics, which is basically an extension of the transcendental argument that I've just been talking about. Yeah. A bunch of pseudo-philosophical bullshit, which, it's interesting to argue with a presuppositionalist, and you can see this all at our blog, freethoughtblogs.com/AXP. The posts are called Argument with Stephen Feinstein or something like that. The idea of the transcendental argument is that God has to exist in order for logic to exist. And so these guys will basically reject all discussion that goes along the lines of show me some evidence for God, because they'll just say, if you have no God, then you can't even reason. So only I am allowed to use logic, and you are not allowed to use logic because you haven't justified logic. So I'm working on my next response to him, and it's kind of tough because every time I read how smug and condescending he is, I just want to throw something.
And I suspect that's the whole point of it,
I think that is on some
basically
level.
Piss off the atheist until he says or does something stupid, and then you've exposed that atheists are incapable of a civilized conversation or something like that.
Yeah, I think eventually most atheists would have, who were having this conversation, would just say, fuck this, I have better things to do.
Yeah.
And I would totally understand that impulse, because, it's not a serious conversation, but it's a very, very pompous conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the sad thing is all the fundies watching will have their beliefs reinforced by the fact that you don't want to continue the conversation because, you know, you admit defeat by walking away or something like that.
Right. So, yeah, I had heard of presuppositional apologetics before, and I thought to myself, you know, well, they say it's going to be this terrible argument, but let's see if I can steer it in a productive direction. And I think I have kind of made some useful points, but they kind of just sail right past him. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, has there ever been a topic you've had a really heated debate with one of your fellow co-hosts, on or off air? Is there something that's just really... I mean, we kind of asked Don, like, when... Have you ever had to put a smackdown on one of the other hosts, basically?
There are various topics where some of us have minority opinions.
Okay.
I don't know if I really want to talk about things that I fight about fellow atheists or fellow hosts about, except for the one free will argument that we had for 2 hours on the nonprofits, and then there was another follow-up. But for the most part, I just find that kind of discussion useless, but Matt and Dennis and Jeff really, really get into it. Although off-air, there are a number of topics that we know that we can bring up that will just infuriate a whole bunch of people. and we'll get letters that say things like, I totally loved your show and agreed with everything you said until you talked about Zeitgeist. and the whole 9/11 conspiracy thing.
Yeah.
And I know, even now...
Don't mention that.
I'm going to flip your inbox. There's also global warming. A lot of people are ostensibly pro-science, but also global warming deniers. There's people who believe that vaccines cause autism.
That's kids going.
And lately, talking about feminism and women's issues seems to be one of those kind of topics. And I'm going to just say, in case there's any ambiguity on that state in that sentence, pretty much all of us involved with the show are very much pro-feminism.
Yeah.
So, but we don't have to talk about that because that's going to flood your inbox. I'm just telling you, those are the topics that piss people off who normally agree with us.
Yeah, I think that this whole issue now that was brought up on Freethought Blogs with the Thunderfoot thing and all that, I think we are all pretty much against Thunderfoot on that one. We're support the whole harassment policy thing and all that, but
I don't want to make this a litmus test because I mean I've liked some of Thunderfoot's creationist stuff.
Yeah, sure. So have I.
Yeah, we all
so,
have. Yeah.
So have I. It's just he said a lot of things that have basically pissed us all off. I think at least. That's the general opinion.
I have a post right now that I just put up yesterday on the Atheist Experience talking about the atheist movement and comparing it to chat roulette. Do you guys remember chat roulette? The Daily Show did a hilarious piece about it where, you know, the thing about this was that you'd hit a button and you'd randomly be talking to somebody who was on their video camera, except that, you know, the show was full of dicks. The chat rooms were literally full of dicks because people would stand up in front of the camera and do inappropriate things. And it was like, what better illustration is there that you can have a network that is way more appealing to people by having ground rules?
Yeah.
And that's something that chat roulette didn't factor into their original design.
Yeah. On that subject, I think I mentioned Atheism Plus before we started the show. It seems to me like that got going almost as a response to this whole Thunderfoot bullshit. Is it basically? I get the impression. I mean, I like the idea, you know, of having okay, we're not just atheists, we also have these values, but what I really get pissed at is that it seems to appeal to the atheists that don't want to think about these issues. There's like, okay, now we have rules about, we're supposed to have this opinion about that and this opinion about that. I don't know.
I don't really think it's like that. I mean, a lot of people accuse it, accuse a lot of participants of free thought blogs in general of trying to dictate the terms of discussions. And I really think that rather than saying you have to have this opinion about this, it's more about having sort of an overall sense of inclusion of minorities and women.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to describe, but like, I'm on the show. I'm good friends with the women who are on the Atheist Experience. Jen, Tracy, Matt's wife Beth has been doing Godless Bitches, and Linnea has my wife has also dropped in from time to time, and all of them to some degree are subject. And, you know, this is generally the case on the internet in general and not just in the atheist movement. So it's not an atheist-specific problem. But it's this issue where basically if you're a woman who is writing about something that somebody disagrees with, if you're a man who's writing about something somebody disagrees with, they're likely to say, you know, you suck and here's why you're wrong. But if you're a woman, you're a lot more likely to get stuff like, you're ugly and you're a slut and I want to rape you.
Yeah.
And that's not generally what happens with the atheist community or with the internet in general, like I was saying. But to a lesser degree, women who get active are just sort of casually attacked more on the basis of things that don't matter.
Yeah.
And more likely to get told to just shut up rather than get responded to. And when I talk about, you know, when I think about having an environment of inclusiveness,
what I mean
is that seriously, people need to stop doing that because it kills regular conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. And I think basically I agree with all that, but I recently read a blog post, can't remember who it was from, but it was one of those people on Freethought blogs advocating Atheism Plus. And he basically said that it something to the effect of, we are the real atheists, and if you are a real atheist, then you agree with our political opinions, with our social values, and if you don't, then you can fuck off. That's actually,
I need a link to that, because I find it hard to believe that that's actually
what
he's saying.
I'm going to try to find it.
And B, if he said that, then I don't agree with it. So, I mean, you know, not hive mind here.
Oh, sorry. We've got a caller, but he's just said he'll hold for a while, so.
Okay.
Hello? Yes, where are you? Sorry.
Okay. Dead air!
Yeah, right. Dead air.
I'm looking for
a blog
post.
Have you got it, Marty, or?
Yeah, I found it earlier. I'm trying to find it again here.
So I was going to ask, Russell, you seem quite, you seem to be quite good with philosophy. Is that just like a recent interest you've pursued, or have you always had a...
I don't know. It's more of a hobby than anything. I mean, I've not really had that much formal training. I thought about minoring in philosophy in college, but went into political science instead, and my major is computer science. So it's kind of an odd combination either way. but you know, like I was saying earlier, if you run into things that you haven't seen before, then you go and read about them. And yeah. a lot of those things that a lot of people haven't seen are philosophy-based. But also, I was on the speech team in high school, and the particular event I did was focused towards speech or debate that was about values. And so it required that you look up a lot of philosophers, which is something that maybe not many high schoolers do unless they're involved with debate.
Yeah. So like I say, you both...
But I was named after a philosopher, so...
Right. Are you? I didn't know that.
Bertrand Russell.
Oh, Bertrand Russell, all right, yeah.
I mean, you know, he's a notorious atheist and mainly famous as a mathematician, but he kind of dabbled in philosophy. In fact, he wrote this thing called The History of Western Thought, or Western Philosophy, I think, where he basically looked at all the famous philosophers in history and basically said what was wrong with them.
I just found the blog. I posted a link in Skype.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Richard Carrier. I haven't read this one.
In his comments, he responds to a lot and says basically, accept it or GTFO.
Does he say that specifically, or are you paraphrasing?
Yes, no, that's what he says. Unless it's someone who hacked his account.
If you mean rational people will be making mental notes of who is irrational then documenting it and publicly informing their colleagues of it, then yes, there is no other way to promote a rational society than to call out those who are irrational and denounce and marginalize them as such. No longer will we treat them as one of us because they are not. There won't be any central committee for this, just the internet and the evidence, accept it or GTFO. I don't know. I feel like he's saying people will do that anyway. Not so much that it's going to be a formal process. I mean, which is just human behavior. But I'm really hesitant to dive into that conversation and opine on what he really means. Or whether I agree with it.
And sure, you'd need to read the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. That's wrong.
I don't want to be responsible for everything everybody says.
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
So I was going to say, what's your least favorite? Let me rephrase that. Oh no, sorry. I'm trying to pay attention to any chat room questions that come up there.
Okay.
I say, do you find New Agers are worse than theists? Oh.
Wow, it's a toss-up.
Yeah.
Some of the most annoying people I've ever met were identified with the Baha'i faith.
All right.
Have you ever run into them?
I've heard of them, yeah, but I've not much knowledge of what they're actually all about.
They're kind of a group of New Agers that explicitly say, you know, every religion has some elements of truth. Okay. So as long as you believe something, then, you know, we're good. But I don't believe the things that they believe, so they still hate atheists. But in general, the more specific and concrete somebody's claims are, the more I like arguing with them. Because, you know, give me a solid old earth creationist, and I can pull out, like, actual scientific data. But the farther you get toward the squishy end, like when you're dealing with intelligent design people who don't want to... Aw. So cute. when you get towards the intelligent design end of things where they're like, well, there's something out there that's a designer, but we don't want to say what it is, that's annoying. And then when you get to New Agers who don't say anything specifically and they, like, practically cry when you try to nail them down to anything specific, then I hate dealing with that.
Yeah. Can you guys just take over? We do have a caller wanting to get in on this topic, okay. So if... You guys carry on, and I'll bring the caller in.
Sure.
Okay. I always like keeping conversations going.
Okay.
Me too.
Ryan Slingerland.
Yep. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Well, he might still need to plug in his mic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Give us a shout when you're ready, Ryan. Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, but like the guy in the chat room is saying right now, just because someone doesn't believe in God, that doesn't mean they're logical or good critical thinkers.
And that's true.
Absolutely true.
And the reverse is also true. I mean, I've met some very intelligent and open-minded theists, and I would rather hang out with those people than atheists who aren't that.
I absolutely agree.
I second that.
Yeah, I'm still finding it.
I mean, my best friend and my best man at the wedding is still a nominal Catholic, and has been ever since we've known each other. And, recently he tried to convince me that the patron saint of lost things helped him find his keys. It was like, dude, you know I'm going to make fun of you, so let me just not do it, because...
And as is being mentioned now, a lot of atheists are conspiracy nutters, 9/11 truthers, and I have buried myself in that crap and had a lot of fun with those people, and I had so many people who unsubbed from my channel because I started debunking 9/11.
Yeah,
and it was just embarrassing. Like, oh, so you can think rationally about God, but you're completely irrational about 9/11 because you believe the official story. What?
So, it's like an either or with these guys. Either you believe a bunch of conspiracy stuff, or you completely believe everything the government tells you about anything. I had a conversation with Guy P. Harrison a couple of months ago, who's the author of 50 Popular Beliefs That People Think Are True. Mm-hmm. And he made an interesting point that, like, people who believe in things like ghosts really think less than other people. I mean, their problem is ignorance. But people who have deeply held conspiracy beliefs kind of are at the opposite end, which is that they're thinking a lot and focused a lot on this one problem, and that's how they draw all these connections that aren't actually there and take seemingly irrelevant details and drag them into the web of conspiracies.
Yeah.
And so that's one reason why conspiracy theorists are more frustrating to argue with, because they care about the issue way more than you do.
Yeah.
And just welcoming Ryan into the call. So, Ryan, you're on with Russell and Tool, so ask away.
Yeah.
Hi, Ryan.
How's it going? You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah, when you hold the mic up, we can hear you perfect.
Perfect. Actually, it's funny what Russell was just saying. As a former believer in ghosts and conspiracy theories back in my more irrational youth, I mean, I have friends that are still very into conspiracy theories, everything from, like, 9/11 truth to, like, international banking and all of this stuff. And
have any lizard people friends?
Oh, no, none of those. None of those, thank God. I mean that hypothetically, obviously. I'll put political posts on Facebook and things like that, especially with it being an election year here in the States. Mm-hmm. And I have friends that are like, oh, they're all just owned by the Rothschilds anyway. It doesn't matter. Like, it's just like, well, you know, it kind of does matter. There's a huge difference between what America would look like run by Mitt Romney than Barack Obama.
Yeah. If you want to dive into American politics, I think
say the only reason I brought it up is because it's frustrating to talk about anything real world with people who are so into conspiracy theories and things like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Especially things like GMOs.
So
GMOs?
GMO.
I don't know.
Genetically modified.
No, I'm not that familiar with that one. Yeah. Is this a new conspiracy theory?
Oh no, it's
more like a kind of denial movement, like anti-vaxxers, basically.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
It's more prevalent.
Anything genetically modified is being used by the government to poison people or something. Yeah. I guess.
Like Monsanto.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have another question, Ryan?
Well, I mean, Monsanto is kind of a real conspiracy. I mean, but
when farmers aren't allowed to save their own seeds and have to buy them continually from one massive corporation, I think it's kind of a problem.
Yeah, I don't want to dismiss everything that remotely sounds like a conspiracy, I don't think that there's some shadowy group controlling it. It's just assholes trying to maximize their profits.
Yeah, and that's always what conspiracies come down to. The ones in reality are all about some company wants to make a bigger profit than they can without being assholes.
Right.
So, they always want to make it seem like it's about mind control, or it's about committing genocide, or it's about ruling the world secretly, or something like that. And that, you know,
it's kind of like what are they supposed to be getting out of that? It's a question you should always ask about conspiracy theories, because it's like in movies, villains just want. There are sometimes in badly written stories, there are villains who just want to kill people for the lols, and that hardly ever happens in the real world.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions, Ryan?
I think I'm good.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Enjoy the show, guys.
Cheers. On that note, we're kind of ties into the New Age thing. It's quiz time, Russell. I don't know if you've heard of our quiz.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. You do this to everybody, you said.
Well, we're going to get into the habit of doing it to any Atheist Experience hosts and just see who comes out top at the end of the year. Because Donna's really thrown the gauntlet down on this test.
All right, high pressure now.
So the test is called DPAC or DARPAC. And essentially online there's a DPAC Chopra quote generator, which takes random words and then makes them into a DPAC sounding quote. So we've got a list here
So it's a Turing test for the DPAC.
So basically, we've got some actual Deepak Chopra quotes and made-up ones. So your job is to guess which is which.
I should tell you that Deepak Chopra is not one of those topics that is a big obsession of mine. So I expect to do badly on that.
Well, I think Don said he doesn't pay attention to Deepak, and he did incredible on this. So.
Oh, man. Okay. So.
I'll keep scores for Kitchen Marty here as well. So, number one, the most creative act you will ever undertake is the act of creating yourself. Is that a Deepak or is it a DARPAC?
That sounds pretty Deepak-y.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be the original and say no, that's pure crap.
You're wrong.
It is pure crap, and it's not the real one.
Yeah, Kitch, you're wrong again.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Carry on.
Can someone keep a note of the scores here, please, as well?
Yeah.
If you get a pen and paper, please, Marty, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So, number two. To acquire true self-power, you have to feel beneath no one... Oh, sorry. Nah. So, I'll start again. To acquire true self-power, you have to feel beneath no one... Be immune to criticism and be fearless. Deepak or DARPAC?
What was the first part of that again?
To acquire true self-power, you have to feel beneath no one. Be immune to criticism and be fearless.
Hmm. I'm tempted to say that's a computer-generated one, just because it sounds too much like a laundry list of jargon terms, but they do kind of tie in together, so I'm on the fence here.
Well, we'll take.
I'm gonna go with Deepak on this one.
Okay, Marty.
Yeah, me too.
Barely.
Yeah, Kitch.
I'm gonna concur, Deepak.
You're all right.
Oh. Yay.
Okay, number three. Your movement is inside mortal force fields. Deepak or Dot Pack?
Fake.
Yeah, I think that's fake too. But it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it could be, but I think it's fake.
Kitch?
I'm hard pressed now. I'm actually going to say real, just to see what would happen.
That's fake.
Yeah, 2 for 3.
So
it's not
I'm
my knowledge of
that, actually.
It's my knowledge of computer AI.
All right. So, number four. Each of us is beyond the light of creativity. Deepak or Dotpak?
The fuck does that mean?
That's the whole point. Each of us is beyond the light of creativity.
I guess fake, but I'm reserving strong possibility that I'm wrong on this one.
So what's your final answer?
Fake.
Fake. And Marty?
I'm going to say real.
And Kitch?
I'm going to go real on this one.
That's fake.
Yeah!
Right, number five. Oh, this is quite a long one, so...
Okay.
You and I are essentially infinite choice makers. In every moment of our existence, we are all in that field of all possibilities where we have to access to an infinity of choices.
Real?
Yeah, real.
Kitch?
I tuned out there. real.
Yeah, that is real.
Okay.
Number six.
How many are there?
There's 10. So don't worry.
I'll get
number
one
six. Good luck is opportunity meeting preparedness.
Real?
Marty?
Yeah, that sounds real.
Kitch?
I'd say that's real.
Yep, you're all right.
It's just the right kind of pithy.
And, right, number eight, what does that word say? Oh, sorry. Experiential truth relies on existential chaos.
This is another fake, but just barely for me.
Marty?
I'm going to say fake.
Kitch?
Fake.
Yep, everyone's correct again.
Yay.
Number nine. Perception creates pure life.
Real. Screw it.
Fake.
Marty.
I'm going to say
real. It does sound like something you said.
It's a fake.
Oh.
So, number nine. My body is a projection of my consciousness.
Real.
Real.
Yeah, yep, real.
That's real. And I realize I duplicated one of these, so I'm going to have to... Give me a second here. I'll have to look at both websites and decide which one to throw at you.
Oh, no.
So I don't know how the... I don't know how the chat room's going on. You guys can keep score of yourselves. So...
Yeah, they seem to be having fun.
Yeah. Okay, so last one. Self-power explains visible external reality.
That does sound like something he'd say.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. Fake.
Marty.
Yeah. I'm going to say real, just to be different here.
Okay. Kitch?
real. Why not?
It's a fake.
Undefeated. Done.
So, Marty.
Yeah,
Marty, what are the scores?
Yeah, Russell got them all.
Bloody hell, so you've beaten Don.
I got 7, and Kitch got 5.
So
more than 4.
Yay.
So, yeah,
exactly
Don.
Random chance.
I did better than last time.
So, I mean,
the way I see it, everything Deepak says sounds like bullshit, but the computer ones sound... Yeah, but the computer ones sound like somebody trying to sound like bullshit, like yeah. by throwing together a bunch of unrelated words pulled from a thing.
Yeah.
And the Deepak ones are only slightly more coherent than that.
Yes.
Have you guys seen Mystery Men?
Yes, a very long time ago. I can't really remember much.
There's this character who's sort of like the guru, and then eventually... people realize that he's just spouting phrases by reversing them. So he's like, you must learn to master your fears or else, and then the other guy interrupts, or else your fears will be your master? That's what you were going to
say,
right? Oh,
yes, I remember that.
Because, not necessarily. So, I think it was Dennett who coined the term deepity, which means... a saying that sounds really deep but isn't. And it's a kind of a useful thing to have to throw around.
Yeah, it's... well, I've got a friend like that on Facebook, and she puts up, like, really weird things. Like, there was something about the old water having a memory, and she said it makes sense in an energy kind of way. And I said, what do you actually mean by that?
Even the phrase, it makes sense in an energy kind of way, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. But like she told me this story about some guy in Egypt that prayed over water and he got better or something like that. I says, how do you explain that? So well,
you know, Linnea and I sat through that movie. What the fuck do we know?
We've sat through that as well.
it was so bad, wasn't it?
Yes. Which version did you watch, by the way? There's two versions of it.
Are there two versions?
There's the theatrical version, which is 2 hours long, and then there's the DVD cut, which is 3.5 hours long.
I don't remember, because we broke it up into chunks.
Yeah. Well, because I don't know if you're familiar with our show, that's kind of one of the regular... It's one of our special features. We do what we call a live pwnage, where we'll get like a creationist video, and we play it live on here, and we just respond to it live on air.
Sounds fun.
It's fun, and it's not at the same time. I think it's fun for everyone watching
sometimes
it.
Sometimes it hurts.
Yes.
Yeah, so from what I remember of that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know, they set up this woman who's like the classic straw man Hollywood atheist who, you know, actually comes right out and says... So stuff that sounds very much like, I hate everything because I'm so cynical and I'm unable to love. I mean, I don't know if she doesn't say that exact thing, but like she might as well have. And then by the end of the movie, she's happy because she drew smiley faces in Sharpie all over her body. It's like, psychology doesn't work like that.
Oh, someone is asking me... Oh, there's quite a few questions coming in. Okay. Have you ever debated a race realist?
Somebody who thinks that race has a real genetic definition? Is that what that is?
No, race realists are basically the new racists, and that's what they term themselves. Okay. So we're not racist, we're just race realists, kind of. You'll know them... They're very easy because they have this slogan that they... You know the slogan, don't you, Marty? And they always say anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. They put that at the end of every statement they make. Have you ever come across them yet?
No, it must be a European thing.
I think it's just a YouTube thing at the moment.
It's
a lot of it on YouTube, but I think it's basically going on... in Great Britain.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Right. Well, I mean, people with crackpot ideas always try to co-opt the language of the opposition to defang it. So, like, people are global warming skeptics.
All right.
You know, pretending that they're the ones with a basis in science, or you've got the religious people who say, actually, you know, I hate religion, I love Jesus.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
That guy. So, you know, trying to deny the thing that they're saying by attaching a different label to it.
Yeah.
That's what race
creation science.
Yeah.
CG, I think I know the answer to this question. Are you free to tell people you're an atheist?
No, generally, but I don't rush to do it in situations with strangers.
Yeah.
Actually, what I'll generally do is I'll make some sort of trial balloon disparaging remark against extreme religion.
Yeah.
And then if people respond positively, then I'll kind of poke around to see where their boundary is, just so that I can figure out what kind of people I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, so if they react badly to something I say about fundamentalists, I can just say, well, it was a joke, and drop the topic. So I'm kind of sneaky that way.
Yeah, because I was just going back to what we said about the people who claim to be skeptics, because that's something I come across a lot, because said, oh, it's my skepticism that drove me to religion. It's actually something I've come across with some people, or, you know, just in general, they claim to be skeptics, but they're actually not. It's like in the same way, like the 9/11 truthers, they say, oh, I'm just being a skeptic here. And then in the next sentence, they say, nothing's going to convince me of anything else.
I mean, it's not enough to be skeptical. Well, I don't want to say you have to have some kind of competing theory, because, you know, you don't have to have a non-God theory to not believe in God. But there are these specific, you know, there are these detailed facts to explain, like, why it really looked to a bunch of people like some planes flew into buildings and then they burned for 2 hours and then the buildings fell down, because that has a fairly straightforward explanation.
Yeah.
And so, in order to be a proper skeptic, you have to present a convincing theory and provide evidence for it. And they never do that. They just say, here are the reasons I'm skeptical that the buildings burning for 2 hours was the reason they fell down. And it's like, all right, then what's your alternative? Because, I mean, that's generally how science advances, is what is the best explanation for the available facts. And you know, people will say, well, maybe there were bombs planted on the inside. But then if you try to poke at the specifics of that particular idea, then they'll back away from it and say, hey, man, I'm just asking questions.
Okay, no other questions from the chat room at the moment. Oh, sorry, yep, sorry, Carol, I missed. Have you ever been invited to any speaking, any invitations to do any speaking events or debates or conventions?
I'd like to go to more, and I meant to sign up with the Secular Student Alliance so that I could be invited to more, but Matt and I both did a joint appearance at in Peoria, Illinois last year, which was a lot of fun. It was like 2 days of, like, the first day we just gave a lecture, and the second day we did a question and answer period, which was almost like a live taping of the Atheist Experience, creationists and all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely like doing live events and would do more of it. So if you want to get in touch...
Would you? Are you kind of interested in doing formal debates as well?
Yeah.
Definitely. So, would you take on William Lane Craig if you had the chance?
Well, Matt always says William Lane Craig won't talk to us because he has a because he only talks to people with PhDs. I think it would be interesting to talk to William Lane Craig, but I'm not as certain as Matt that, I mean, William Lane Craig does this for a living. He manages to talk bullshit in a convincing and charismatic way in front of audiences, like, and he gets paid a lot to do it. We're amateurs. I would not be surprised if we didn't do that well, but, you know, he is like the top 0.001% of Christian debaters. So, I mean, you know, after watching a William Lane Craig art debate, I can deconstruct it and see all the things he said that are nonsense, but it's not always that easy to do on the fly.
Yeah.
But I would do it.
Yeah. Another question from the room. I'm just going to rephrase it, CG Phantom. I think it's just, have you ever gotten bored just hearing the same apologetics over and over, like what Martin calls a prat?
Yes.
Right. So which is the one that you just roll your eyes at instantly?
I mean, these days when I hear, like, the argument from design come up, for instance.
Yeah.
The argument from design, they want to, like, slowly, carefully lead you through this maze of, well, this needs a designer, right? And just sort of go all Socratic method on you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can we please just skip to the end where you get to the God part? So I've been criticized for being impatient that way because, like, I jump the gun to the end of somebody's argument and don't let them make it. And that doesn't always play so well on TV.
Yeah. Because I think there was one time some guy called you and he started like you walk down the woods and then you kind of jumped in and said, yeah, and you get to the watch. When are you getting to the watch, by the way?
Right. But, you know, people are always hearing these arguments and thinking that this is a brilliant thing that nobody's ever heard before.
Yeah. Amazing Rando is asking, Mex Powers, ever heard of the apologist named Swinburne?
I have, and hey, is Max Powers a reference to PvP Online, the comic strip? sorry, okay, obscure inside reference. I've listened to a lot of Christian radio, and the name Swinburne sounds really familiar to me, but I couldn't tell you specifically what his gig is.
Yeah. And what's the most common apologetic you hear? Like, out of all of them, what's the... I would probably say morality's got to be up there.
It's one of them, but most people, I mean, it takes a certain minimal level of philosophical chops, I think, to be able to make the morality argument effectively.
Yeah.
Whereas saying, okay, well, if you're wrong, you'll go to hell, takes no intellectual ability whatsoever. And so is very, very common. If they don't bring it up right out of the gate, then at the end when they get frustrated, they'll say, well, I don't have an answer, but you're still going to hell, so think about that, click.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't say the first cause argument, because that's probably
the one that's
I hear the most. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, so you don't believe in God. Well, then where did everything come from?
Right.
It's really common.
Yeah.
Amazing Rando's asking a question. We always get this with every atheist, so we always feel bad. Who's your favorite co-host? The awkward question. No one, none of you, don't worry, no one else has, they've all dodged the question.
I like all the co-hosts.
Yes.
I think that the outlier is that I have some of the very best shows when I'm on with Jeff.
All right.
I mean, we just have that chemistry of playing off each other that that has the potential to make really great shows.
Yeah, because I think you kind of have a good cop, bad cop thing going with Jeff sometimes.
Yeah, kind of.
There was CG had a good question there. Has anyone ever turned up to the after-show meal who wasn't atheist-friendly?
Not that I can remember. We used to have morning meetings where I'm pretty sure, like, one guy who was a Muslim showed up and got chased out. And we had one lecture, which was sort of a bait and switch, where there was a guy who was a military chaplain who promised that he would just talk about the role of military chaplains and wouldn't preach at us, and he preached at us. But other than that, I mean, we've had people call and apparently jokingly say that they were going to come punch us, but nobody's ever.
I'm going to punch you in the face for Jesus.
Yeah. Funjoy is asking, has Jeff's mohawk grown back?
Yes.
Yes, it has.
There were still traces of it last time I saw it, but it's pretty much gone.
Yeah, and Organic Beekeeper, he's saying, why don't you include the post-show on the podcasts? And probably I'd like to ask, do you plan to do that, include the post-show?
That's a technical issue, and I don't deal with technical issues anymore. There's a reason why, I mean, it doesn't get recorded on the same tape as the regular show, because during that time they're breaking it down. But I do know that if you go to the Ustream channel, which live records everything, then the post show is still on there, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
Okay. Belzer is asking, how huge is the radius around Austin before you get into the real Texas? And I think kind of the real, where, you know, you can't say you're an atheist, basically, or you'll get...
Well, first of all, you should understand that Texas is a huge place. I mean, you know, you can see that in general just by looking at a map, but you can't really appreciate until you're here that, like, you can't bike places unless you specifically move somewhere where you can be near them. And, you know, I know in a lot of larger cities that are more densely packed, you can get around on foot or by public transportation. Mm-hmm. But in Texas, you're driving everywhere, because even the city is like a long way with absolutely nothing in between. So the amount of empty space in Texas in general is very large. And if you drive about an hour out of Austin, you'll be in some of the hick cities. But I don't want to give the impression that driving for an hour is a long way in Texas. It's a fairly short distance, relatively speaking.
Yeah. Is that kind of when you're in the territory where you won't have your... where it's a bad idea to have a Darwin fish on your car or something?
And also, you know, you think, well, this would be a good place for a zombie movie.
I was going to say, have you ever... well, I know, like, the other hosts at all, like, Austin's fairly liberal on that, but have you ever gone outside, like, Austin and ever come across someone who noticed you on TV and maybe had some words with you?
People outside of Austin don't generally recognize us. I mean, people in other cities recognize us. Like, my dad's in Seattle, and he found someone who was familiar with me. So that was cool. But, you know, the show is... I'd like to think that it has a very long reach, but really it's fairly small as big popular shows go. So, you know, when I'm in different parts of Texas, I don't wear atheist shirts and I don't talk about it.
Yeah. That's good. That's, how to word this, but, like, when did you first realize, like, the show had kind of gone global? And, like, was it a big surprise for you to know that it had kind of gone global as well?
It wasn't a big surprise, because we kind of worked to push it in that direction.
Oh,
I mean, first we were a local TV show, and then Jeff had this idea to start up the nonprofits as a podcast, and then we said, well, this works great for the nonprofits. Why don't we have more of an internet presence with the Atheist Experience show? And then we started noticing that more and more calls every week would be from out of state or even out of the country. And we were like, yeah, that was a good move.
Right, cool. And like I said, have you ever been just really surprised at some of the locations where the calls have come from?
Like,
is there one that's just like, whoa, from there?
Not anymore. I mean, we've gotten calls from Japan and South America and, you know, places in the former Soviet Union and all over Europe, of course. Obviously, people have to speak English with some amount of fluency, because we're not a multilingual show. But I'm pretty sure that we've heard from at least some from every continent. And I guess I'm no longer surprised by it. I think it's pretty cool.
All right. But like I say, that's one. I know a lot of people say that because of that, the kind of amount of theist callers has gone down, and you're getting a lot of friendly callers now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We have to seriously, actively screen hard to keep atheists out.
Yeah.
As much as we do, and we don't want to shut them all out. We just, you know, let a couple of them on the line, and then and then try to actively look for theists.
All right. Someone's mentioning Matt from Oslo. Is he still trying to call? Or is he gone?
He tried, but last time Matt just hung up on him, and last time he emailed, we said, fuck off, we don't want to talk to you anymore.
Right.
So he stopped trying.
Yeah.
I think the calls we did with him were decisive enough that even if he thinks he deserves another chance, nobody else does. I'd like to take another 5 minutes or so, and then my wife's waiting for me at an event.
Okay.
So if we can move this toward, like, I'd love to take a few more questions, and thanks for having me on.
Right, we'll just quickify. Have you ever gotten a call from one of the big name YouTube creationists?
I remember. I don't know who the YouTube creationists are. I don't really pay that much attention to that scene. I know, like, Side 10 Bruggenkate was smack talking about us, but hasn't called yet.
Yeah.
Shock of God.
Well, Shock of
God. Shock of God claims to have talked to us, but has never talked to us.
Okay.
Exactly.
That I know of. And then there were these guys who were, like, kids. Like, there was this 15-year-old called Cabane the Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who called us and was, like, super smarmy.
All right. Belzer asks, anywhere where you can get older non-profits episodes than episode 4.13? Is there an archive?
So I have them all stored on my computer, and people keep bugging me to make a torrent out of it.
Yeah.
And I keep meaning to do that, but I never remember. So consider me reminded again. One of these days I'm going to get it up.
Okay. Have you thought... Are you in it for the long haul with the atheist experience and that? You haven't thought about maybe calling it a day yet?
No, I love it.
All right.
But I think part of the secret is don't overtax yourself, because we do have a lot of people who have just done it all the time and then gotten totally burned out. So, you know, you got to pace yourself.
Yeah. I'm going to ask, would you ever have Ray Comfort back on?
Sure, he was a nice guy. Complete douche with the arguments. But personally, I liked him. I mean, you know, I would have a beer with him.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy, just a complete moron.
Yeah, that is a good description of him. I always tell people, if you've seen the show, you may or may not remember this, but at the end he did something which I thought was pretty cool, which was, I said, look, Ray, the show's wrapping up, we gotta go. Do you have any, like, shows or websites you'd like to plug? And he said, yeah, watch The Atheist Experience, they're a great bunch of guys. And it's like, oh, well, I don't know if that was manipulative or classy, but I'll go with classy.
Okay.
That was my feeling.
Another one, have you ever tried to get any of the past hosts on to do a reunion show, or are you planning one soon? Because I think you've got an anniversary coming up, don't you?
I think Matt's been talking about it, but I'm not involved in that planning.
Old Bear asks, any developments in the decision to stay with Public Access or go on your own at the new building?
I've seen the new building, and I've had some input into the kind of internet connection that they need.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be up and running within a month or two. But, you know, there are a lot. You guys may not believe it, but there are a lot of benefits to being with Public Access. And we'll probably only leave it if they have another policy change that's totally intolerable, or they just get their funding pulled entirely, which isn't out of the question.
R8 Bob, if humans come from monkeys, why are they still monkeys?
um, If you and your cousin both evolved from your grandmother, then how come your cousin still exists?
Does Matt still have that hideous couch from the first season? I don't know.
I don't remember.
No.
No, it has to be from the season when you were in Dillahunty International Studios. That wasn't the first season, but
Matt has way more apartment space or he's moved into a house now, and he has way more house than he has furniture. So I would be surprised if he threw that away.
And I was going to just quickly scroll back.
All right, last one. Make it good.
Go on. Come on, Rome. That's one last. You've got your last question. Will the non-profits ever become weekly?
Supposedly we're weekly now. What are you talking about?
All right. When's the next non-profits on is the next question.
Probably Tuesday. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. I am going to join my wife at a televised StarCraft tournament.
Oh, wow.
That's how much of a nerd I am.
That's a good a wife you have as well.
I know. She is
we're
the best.
We're all nerds, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yes, I think the chat room's run out of questions now for you.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I had a lot of fun.
It was great having you.
Oh, thanks very much for coming on, Russell.
Thank you.
So right. Everyone, thumbs up for Russell in the chat room, please. There is one very, very last question. Does Jeff still have his T-Rex shirt?
I don't look at his wardrobe.
That's a good note to end on there, I think.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Russell. Thanks again.
Bye.
My God, our chat room is amazing sometimes.
Yeah.
So I do. I think we can wrap up there. That was Russell Glasser. Many, many thanks to him. What a great guy. Had a good laugh with him. And absolutely. We are not back in 2 weeks because of the Magic Sandwich charity show. But we are back in 4 weeks. Every 2 weeks, Fun Joy, we're on. That's what I'm trying to explain right now. We're back in 4 weeks. And we have very special guest Landon Tombstone Taylor joining us. Tombstone the Dead Man. So really don't want to miss that one. 26th.
Rational Warrior.
Yeah, or Rational Warrior, yeah. So he'll be joining, and he's a really nice guy. Like, I've been speaking to him off here, and he is just such a nice bloke as well. Very intelligent guy. So yeah, 26th of September, everyone, join us for that. And yeah, we're working on some more guests, and Live Pwnage will be probably end of October. I think we'll do it again.
Yeah, do we have anything on the list? I'm still saying I want Expelled, but
the only problem
I'm going to regret that
I have with Expelled is copywriting. I know it's just I know how the Discovery Institute are about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're
yeah, and also involving Blog TV and broadcaster copyright materials as well. I'm very suspicious of if we do that, then there's going to be someone's just going to be there for the flagging. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but chat room, if you want to suggest, links down below. You can email and get in touch with us.
That's a good one, actually.
Yeah. I say just links all below, and you can suggest to us. Back in 2 weeks.
And don't forget to rate and subscribe.
Yep. Go to all the links below. It'll be uploaded to YouTube and podcast this week, this show. So thanks, everyone. Good night. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we see you on the 26th of September. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.